Thank you so much for being here today again as we learn about Bitachon. And it is Chaf Aleph of Menachem Av, Tavshin Pei Gimel, August 8th, 2023. Today, it should be a zechus for a refuah shalema for Avraham Yechizkiyahu ben Bluma, and also for Shalom al Yisrael. And I remember a story that occurred this past Shabbos. I wanted to share it with you. I was on my way to shul, and I met an acquaintance of many years. And we said good Shabbos to each other. And he asked me how I'm doing. I said, Baruch Hashem, I'm holding up okay. And I said, well, how are you today? And he said, if I got up and said Moda Ani, then nothing else really matters after that. That's it. So I said to myself, that hit me with a jolt. Because you know what? I don't think that I said Moda Ani this morning. But why? Because I wasn't feeling well, and to the point that I didn't even get myself together enough to say Moda Ani. It wasn't like on purpose, so I said it right then as I'm walking to shul. But I realized this person really packs a punch with his statement. Because what is Moda Ani all about? We know that it's a pasuk in Eicha. Chadashim labakarim rabba emunasecha. That the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael are new, and that attests to the fact that you, Hashem, your faith, faithfulness to us, the fact that we can depend on you, is so abundant. What does it have to do with bitachon? Even if yesterday was however it was, and even if I wake up feeling a certain way, but it's still chadashim. It's absolutely, genuinely true that our neshamos are renewed. If you look in the Anaf Yosef, in the Siddur Otzrat Filos, he explains, what is this Moda Ani that we say? Which, as I'm reminding myself, a Yid needs to say it every single day. What if I don't feel well? I have to remember still, because the point is so fundamental. It's in the Medrash Rabbah on Eicha. Chadashim labakarim, it says, that we're new in the morning. Rabbah emunasecha, Reb Alexandri explained, because you renew us every single morning. Therefore, we know from that you will faithfully perform Techiyas HaMeisim, resurrection of the dead. What does that mean? What happens at night when we're sleeping? We entrust our neshamos at night in your hand, Hashem. I'm reading in English the Anaf Yosef that's written in Hebrew. Kishehen ayefos mitorach hayom. At night, we're exhausted, we're worn out. And we say, Ribon Shalom, I have a pikadon for you. I will entrust you with something. You will be the shomer, so to say. You will be the one who's entrusted with my item. What is that? That's my neshama. And you know what? In the morning, I know that Hashem is going to give it back to me. Atomachzira manu chazakos ki'ilu hein chadashos. The neshama that's returned to me. Besides that, it's tahorahi, it's pure. It's invigorated. It's refreshed as if it's new. That is what assures us, says the Anaf Yosef, that there will be Techiyas HaMeisim, revival of the dead. Ki zeh me'ein Techiyas HaMeisim hu. Waking up in the morning, we know that it's a fraction of death when we're sleeping. That is like revival, resurrection of the dead. That's what it means, Moda Ani Shechazarta bi nishmasi bechemla. With mercy, with compassion, with pity, you have returned me my neshama. I'm alive. Here I am, Ribono Shel Olam. While I was sleeping, I wasn't like that. Shemizeh onu roim, that from this we see, sharaba emunasecha, that we can depend on you, dependability for resurrection of the dead, for tchias ha-meisim. It's true, it's there. Every single day we go through the motion of tchias ha-meisim. So of course we believe in tchias ha-meisim. So I said to myself, this brilliant person, he really has it straight. Once I say Moda Ani, I'm back. My neshama is refreshed. It's re-energized. It's recharged. I'm alive. I have what I can accomplish. So why didn't I say it that day? Oh, I didn't feel well. I didn't even think of saying it. Yeah, but it's not too late. And it really is Techiyas HaMeisim. And it really is a privilege to be here. And Baruch Hashem, the fact that I'm here, That is a burst of emunah and bitachon that I am able to tap into because I see that Hashem really cares. It reminds me of the pasuk. And remember, this is our second time around with many of our sources, our makoros, and it bears repetition so, so much. The pasuk in Koheles, Perek Tes, pasuk Dalet. What did the great Shlomo HaMelech say? If we're alive, we really should be dancing and rejoicing because we're alive. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, kal vachomer, if we've come through crises, chas v'shalom, challenges, and we're on the other side of those, we're on the mend, we're healing from emotional trauma, hopefully not, but certainly emotional stress and travails that people go through, and the physical ones we've gone through, but we're on the other side of it. I mean, it's Hashem, hopefully, we're getting better and better. The way Yaakov Avinu had so many tzaras, and Hashem said, he took him to task. He said, don't look at the negative part of it. Look at the second part. You're still okay. You got back what was taken. You have your children back, et cetera, et cetera. So it reminds me of the pasuk in Koheles. Ki mi asher yehubar el kol achayim. Because whoever will be attached to all the living, yesh bitachon. As long as a person is alive, there's still hope. There's still hope. Look at the word that Shlomo HaMelech uses. Yesh bitachon. It's different from the word tikva. Tikva means I hope for things, I wait for things. Bitachon is trust. Bitachon, it's so much more powerful. That's the word Koheles uses. There is bitachon just with life, there is trust. Mi asher yichubar akol achayim. Whoever is attached to all the living, yesh bitachon. There is trust. It's one of the premier psukim in the Tanakh about bitachon. It's nestled in Koheles Perek Tes Pasuk Dalet. Why? Here's an example. Ki lekelev chai hu tov mina are hames. It is better off, the situation, for one who's alive, even if it's a dog, compared to the lion, more than the lion, because if the lion is dead, then there's no more hope, even though he was a lion. We already know there's a lot of parable here. There's an analogy going on. We're going to examine the pasuk. It's time to look at it again, to remind ourselves that it's a reason to rejoice and to have renewed hope every morning if I'm alive. What does Rashi say about this? Why does it say, Kimi asher yichubar el kol achayim, the one who will be attached to all the living? Who are all the living? Rashi explains, first of all, ba'odo b'chayim, as long as a person is alive, afilu hu rasha, even if the person is wicked or evil. Now, you might say, we're not dealing with Rishoyim here in this Ritachon Vad. I'm going to say to myself, I have a lot left to perfect and to improve. So let's say I think, sometimes we think about ourselves, I'm not such a good person. So even if I would be that person, even if there's a person out there who's a rasha, and you know, who are his associates? They're also wicked people. That's his chevra. The person who will be attached to all the living. What do you mean to all the living? Rashi explains. But there's still hope because he's here. I woke up today. I hopefully said Moda'ani. And if I didn't say it before, I'll say it now. There's bitachon still. Shema Yashuv Lifnei Moso, because there's still time to improve, to do tshuva. That's why it says El Kol Achayim. Whomever we're attached to, those human beings, those organisms, but they're alive. That means I'm alive. That means I'm here with them. That means there's still hope for me. I can smile. I can be optimistic. And then who's the dog and the lion? You know about this already. If you were here around a year ago, somewhere within the last year and a half, you would know. It's better off, it says. It says, Likelev chai hu tov. It says, it is better for the living dog, mina are hames, better than for the dead lion. Postscripts for Tisha B'Av. Shnehem reshoyim, even if they're both wicked people. Tov hoya lo the Nebuzradon. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's general? He was such a butcher, like they called Saddam Hussein, the butcher of Baghdad. This was the ancient butcher of Baghdad. From Babel, his name was Nebuzradon. Killed so many Yidden. Gemara talks about it, Nebuzradon, but still, he was better off. Shaya Eved Rasha, that's why he calls him a dog. It's just a comparison, the dog to the lion. The dog is on a lower societal level than the lion. So he was considered like a servant. He was a servant to the Rasha. The Rasha was Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuzaradan, who was like the dog, was alive. What do you mean he was a Caliph Chai? He lived long enough that he did tshuva before he died. That's what it means he's alive. Meaning it was better for him that he lived, and in the lifespan that he was here, he did tshuva. Rashi says, Nisgayer, the Gemara talks about it. He literally converted. Can you picture someone like Himmler, Yimach Shemo, Hitler, people like that, Eichmann, imagine converting? Nisgayer, that's the type of person he was. It says Nisgayer. Shaloha Timaso Misa. Death didn't get him. No, he was there. He took care of matters before he died. That's what it means he's alive. Better than the Arye Hames, the lion who died before he did tshuva. Who was that? Right, that's his master, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Rashi says, Rabbo, his master, Shanikra Arye. We all know, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was called the lion. Shanemar, as it says, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and that was in one of the Haftorahs before Tisha B'Av. Ola Arye Misifcho, that the lion has come up from its thicket. That was Nebuchadnezzar preparing to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But unfortunately for Nebuchadnezzar, he died in a state of wickedness before he repented. Where is he? The Gehenim? So Nebuchadnezzar is up to Rashi and Koheles. I'm reading it to you. He's in Gehenim. The Avdo Began Eden. But his servant, Nebuzradon, the one who butchered so many Jews, but he repented, he converted. He's in Gan Eden, Rashi says. There are different chazal about it. How could he be in Gan Eden? No matter what tshuva he would do. But Rashi says it right here. He's begun Eden. We have to mention one more point, though, about this pasuk. It's based on the Yerushalmi that Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein quotes here. It says in the pasuk, Niasher Yechubar, whoever will be attached to all the living. As long as I'm alive, as long as I'm here, I have hope, I have today, I have Moda Ani, I have a new neshama. But there's also a ksiv, Yevuchar. Again, you might remember it from last time. Amar Rav Yochanan, Yevuchar Ksiv. Yechubar and Yevuchar is the same idea. Because Yechubar means the one who will be attached to the living. That means as long as I'm here, I'm breathing, I'm talking, I'm on the face of the earth, I can do mitzvahs, I'm attached to the living. By definition, it's Yevuchar. What is Yevuchar? What's the Shoresh? Bechira. I still have a free choice also. El Kol HaChayim, to all the living the person is attached. Yesh Bitachon, but it's Bitachon. Why? Because I have Bechira. That's Yechubar and Yevuchar. Yechubar will be attached to the living, is written as Yevuchar, will be given a choice. I can choose this second to smile. I can choose this second to look at the positive. That's Yevuchar. That's Bechira. I can choose to say good morning to somebody. I can choose to give somebody an inspiring word, the way that my friend did on Shabbos morning. She calls man she'adam chai, that as long as a person is alive, yesh lo tikva, says this Talmud Yerushalmi, there's still hope. A person might think, no. The person might think, oh, it's hopeless, chas v'shalom. No, it's not hopeless. It's hopeful, because I'm here. Meis, but once a person leaves the world of the tikva, so there's no more hope. As it says, the most Adam Rasha, when the wicked person dies, Tova Tikva, the hope is gone. As Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein explains in the Torah Tamima, calls Mansha Adam Chai, as long as a person is alive, Vafilu Rasha, even if the person's wicked, I'll add my 2 cents, even if the person is suffering, Chas V'Shalom, let's say emotionally, let's say mentally, let's say physically, let's say with relationships, let's say with Parnassah. But the person is here. I'm alive. I can work through things. Hashem gives me the ability. Hashem gives me the ability even to be patient sometimes. What about that? How about the ability to ask for patience, to ask for help with mitos? I can do that too. I can do everything. The whole world is open to me if I'm here. Yesh lo tikva, livchor b'chayim. Says Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, I can still choose life. Dehainu lashuv b'tshuva. That means to come back with repentance. So that's why he says, the ksiv is asher yevuchar milashon v'acharta b'chayim. You should choose life. So Baruch Hashem, for the first half of today, we talked about the privilege of living, the beauty, the magnificence of living. I can keep going. I can have a positive day because, remember, we talked about we can determine our outcomes. And that brings me back to the Chafetz Chaim, to our main text. We can actually build worlds with our bitachon. It's mita keneged mita. Yes, I can alter, I can tweak in a major way the outcome of my challenges. I'm back in the Sefer Machne Yisrael, which he wrote for the soldiers, the Jews who were in the, they were conscripted in the Russian or the Polish army. It's made clear in many different sources, in the words of the Nevi'im, the prophets, she'ikar hatzalas nefesh ha'adam, that the main salvation, the hatzala, the rescuing of a person's life, a person's soul, a person's vitality, based on melchama at the time of war, but it's not just war on the battlefield. We already said, our very first, the Aleph Beis of the Bitachon Vad, was Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. It's not just the battlefield, it's the battlefield of life. What is the mainstay of a person's salvation? Viskabro al oyevav, and his ability to overpower, to persevere over his challenges and his struggles, his adversaries. Taloi, it's dependent. The godel hischaskus koach bitchono b'Hashem. It is totally dependent on the greatness of the strengthening of the power of his trust in Hashem, that is a direct translation of the words of the Chafetz Chaim. Yestod Gadol Ma'od, great foundation, such a major principle. More bitachon, more success. More trust in Hashem, more salvation. Kumosha Matsino Bedivre Yehonasan Ben Shaul. And now the Chafetz Chaim brings us examples. He's speaking to soldiers. We're all soldiers on a battlefield. We have challenges. My challenge might be, will I say Moda'ani tomorrow morning? Will I muster the strength to say Moda'ani? When I open my eyes, will I smile at people, starting with members of my household? Will I be Makayim Behaftovecha Kamocha by brightening up people's day? On the battlefield, the soldiers need a chizuk, but we all have this type of challenge. What did Yehonasan ben Shaul say? Shehu v'nosei kelav, that he and his weapon bearer, his assistant, the atzmam themselves, nitzchu es ikar hamilchama. You know that we had the arch enemy, the Pelishtim, constantly a thorn in our side. Look throughout the Tanakh. Shoftim, Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, we had the Pelishtim, even earlier. So there were so many different challenges, battles. And he said to his weapon bearer, we can take care of this with bitachon. Because it was just the two of them together. They melted away the Pelishtim army. What? How are you supposed to do that? It says just hu v'nosei kelav. He and his weapon bearer, ba'atzmam, themselves. They really went ahead and defeated the Pelishtim army. Utechilas mamaro. And the beginning of Yehonasan ben Shaul, his statement, what did he say first? What nida did he talk about? The Nosei Caleb to his weapon bearer? Hoyorak b'midas bitachon. It was only about trusting in Hashem. That's the spearhead. That's the most potent weapon that wins the war. Ukamosha Amar. And like he said, ki ein matar l'Hashem l'hoshia. That there is no preventative, there's no impediment, there's nothing holding Hashem back to save someone, a community, a family, an army, a Klal Yisrael, berav ovi ma'at, whether there are many resources or very few. A person might say, I don't have the resources, I don't have the strength. Even if I don't have it, Hashem can help me with bitachon, and I am able to persevere. I'm able to succeed against all odds. Ein Hashem matel oshia. Nothing holds Hashem back. Berav ovi ma'at. He said to me, think we don't have enough men? You don't need men. Okay, yeah, you're saying, wait a minute. What about ishtadlus? I understand. We're getting to ishtadlus. Yeah, we have to do ishtadlus. We have to put forth efforts. We have to work. We have to get an education enough to have a good job. All that is important, and it's required. It's compulsory, hishtadlus. Yes, it's true. But that is not what's doing it. That is just a tax that we pay, as we said half a dozen times from the Mesilas Yesharim, which Amir Hashem will learn the text again coming up. It's the mass shapareya kol hamin ha'anoshi, says the Maseilas Yesharim. The Hishtadlus we do, he didn't say to him, we don't have to do anything. He did not say that to his weapon bearer. He said, we have to do something. But you don't need to have tens of thousands of soldiers to win. Translate into daily challenges. Maybe by nature I don't have certain talents, certain mitos. That doesn't mean I won't be successful. I can go in a different way, or Hashem can help me in some other method that I will be successful. And then we have another incident. Achein motzinu b'shmul aleph paraklamid. And this is the incident of Tziklag, which we're going to start learning about now. And last time around, it spanned a number of Vad gatherings, and it will again this time, probably. In the end of Shmuel Aleph, very brief background, we know that David HaMelech, and anybody who thinks, oh yeah, good old King David, thinks great, he sits on his throne, he has his harp. Everything's perfect, right? Paradise. He's the king. We know that's exactly the opposite. He was constantly faced with challenges, unspeakable, unthinkable ones. In case you ever think that about yourself, I say to myself, is this as bad as what David HaMelech went through? You're talking about a hard time raising kids. You have kids who want to kill him. You have children killing each other. You have Avshalom, you have Amnon, Adoniyahu, and then his father-in-law. He's getting it from both ends. That's one of the great dilemmas in life, where a person's at a stage where they say, I'm like in a sandwich. I love all my relatives. I want to help everybody out. I have challenges from the parental side sometimes, and also from the side of children. It's normal. That's natural. Hashem gave us this beautiful, it should be a labor of love, that this is what he entrusted us to do. That's a compliment. Oh, Ribbono Shel, you trust me to be able to work through these problems and do the hishtadlus? Well, David HaMelech really had it from both sides. So he has his children problems, and he has his father-in-law, for example. So we know that his father-in-law, after a while, who was a really perfect tzaddik, Shaul HaMelech, Shaul ben Kish, but he arrived at a point in his life where it says he had a ruach ra, without getting into what a ruach ra is, but it was definitely not a positive set of emotions. That's definite. And he was trying to kill his son-in-law, David, as we know. So David HaMelech had to be on the run. He really, you talk about avoiding your father-in-law. People think they have to avoid their in-laws, Pastor Shalom. We're talking about serious avoidance, like to save your life. So he's fleeing, and he had to flee to what we call Eretz Plishtim, again with the Plishtim, to Achish Melech Gas, otherwise known as Avimelech. Avimelech was the name of the dynasty. If you look at the Rashbam, and Chumash, he explains that that's the name of the dynasty, is Avimelech. His name was Achish Melech Gath. And David HaMelech fled there. He had no choice. So when he was there, he was assigned a city. He had men with him. They were his men, his little army. I don't know how little. I don't know the number. I don't remember. And they were in a city called Tziklag. Avimelech gave him the city. And he's like, okay, Dave, you got this city. Do your thing. Chill, hope everything goes well with you and your men. So David's in hiding there from his father-in-law, Shaul, but needs to create the impression that he has had a fallout and he is Shaul's enemy. Because if he still is viewed as Shaul's ally, then he wouldn't have lived very long in the land of the Plishtim, because anybody who is the ally of Shaul HaMelech is the archenemy of the Plishtim, and therefore he would be dead. So the fact that he was alive is because he had to somehow create the impression that he wasn't on such good terms with Shaul, and maybe he wouldn't mind if Shaul was dead. And we already know he had opportunities to kill his father-in-law a couple times, and he said, how could I do that? It's not going to be my job. This is the background. He's in the city of Tziklag. One day what happens, there's going to be a standoff battle between Achish Melech Gath, who's the Avimelech Plishti king, and Shaul and his army. So what happens? This is the great paradox, the impossible to solve dilemma, it seems, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu solves it in a remarkable way. But what was the dilemma? David HaMelech is summoned to go with his men, to join Avimelech, or Achish, to fight against Shaul. And that obviously is a very colossal dilemma, because if he says, oh, I don't think I can go, then what do they realize that pushed him? That he seems to be still aligned and allied with Shaul. It's like, I can't go because I'm afraid of pulling trigger on Shaul. So he has to go. But if he goes, then we have a different problem. What if he faces the B'nai Yisrael on the battlefield? Well, he's not going to kill Yidden. He's not going to shoot B'nai Yisrael. So he can't stay, but he also can't go. So what do you do in that case? Ask a Shaila, right? So what he did was, as we know, the people who know Shmuel, he said, okay, we got to go, which, by the way, the Ma'am Lois points out later that that created a bit of anger later on. We'll see. Mirz Hashem, it'll take a few times. But just today's little piece. Saul was going to be on the battlefield, and Achish Melech Gas, the Pelishti king, otherwise known as Avimelech, is going to be fighting against Jews, and David HaMelech has to be with the Pelishti side for the political reason, because he has to put up this facade that he is with the Pelishtim. Why? Because this is the way he saved his life, by taking refuge with the Pelishtim. What an absolute conundrum. So on the way he's going, I'm sure he must have been having a lot of bitachon. Everybody knows what happened. How did he get out of it? And we're going to end today with this point. The point we're going to end with today is to show that the absolute worst impossible to solve paradox that a person could be in is not the worst and impossible to solve. There is a solution for that one also. And we can think, and I'm telling myself, anything that I see in my life, whether it's the relationships with children, parents, and other human beings, whether it's medical, physical, whether it's financial, none of them are impossible to solve. They're all a piece of cake for Hashem to solve for me. So on the way, the solution comes. Suddenly, what happens? Achish's generals, his men, say, who's coming with us to fight against Shaul? It's that guy, David? Wait a minute. On the battlefield, maybe he'll turn against us. He'll realign with the Jews, with Shaul. And then we're all going to be mincemeat. That's going to be the end of us, because we know that he's the fiercest warrior you could ever imagine. Put him together with his father-in-law. So they go up to Avimelech, to Achish Melech Gas, and say, I don't think we feel comfortable with him on the battlefield. Like, you think supposedly, presumably, he's going to fight with us against Shaul? What if he turns on us? Then we're all history. So as we know, and we'll continue with this next time, Amir Tashem, miraculously, and Hashem always comes through for us, especially when we have bitachon. David HaMelech is released and comes to him, Avimelech, and says, listen, Dave, I love you, man. I would take you any day with me. I trust you totally. But it's not working out, like, politically with my cabinet, my advisors, my generals, my military leaders aren't so, like, totally comfortable with this. I'm sorry. Don't take it personally. You can go back home to Tziklag. And David's like, hey, in his mind, like, oh, what a nice, Baruch Hashem. We know that Hashem comes through for us. We need to have bitachon. The more bitachon, then the more zechus we have, that Hashem will come through for us faster, even more efficiently, and more thoroughly. But Hashem's always watching us. Chadashim Rabakarim, Rabba Emunasecha. Hashem, you're always faithful to us. Every single day, you resurrect the dead, even when we feel totally dead. Not just in the future, Tchias HaMeisim. It could be every day. Hashem should help us, and He should revitalize and re-energize us. And Amir Hashem will continue next week with the story, continuing with David and Siklag, and David's Bitachon. Thank you so much for joining.